Would you please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. And stand with me in honor of the Holy Scriptures as we read our passage today. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God will open your heart and help you to read these beautiful words, to understand them, and to apply them to your life? Will you pray for the people around you that God would help them to just accept these beautiful words by faith and apply them to their lives? Please take a few moments to pray for me that I would deliver this message accurately as the Apostle Paul intended. Gracious Heavenly Father, your word is perfect. Feed your sheep through your Holy Scriptures and use me to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We have come to a turning point in the book of Romans. This is really, really great. Romans has 16 chapters, and verses 1 through 11 are the foundation. Verses 1 through 11 are the beautiful, beautiful, life-changing gospel, the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for all of us who truly put our faith in him. Romans 1 through 11 is the foundation. And now Paul says an amazingly huge word in Bible study, Romans 12, 1. The very first word is therefore. And that therefore means that we are responding to something. Romans 12 is not the beginning of the book. Romans 1 is the beginning of the book. In Romans 1, we learn that all of us have sinned. Romans 2, we learn that even the Jewish people, God's chosen people, have sinned. Romans 3, we learn that Jews and Gentiles and everybody has sinned. But in Romans 3, verse 21, Paul begins to explain the gospel. And he says, in spite of the fact that religious people and non-religious people and Jewish people and Gentile people and every single person has sinned and falls short of the glory of God, and that no one will earn their way to God by following some sort of religious program, he says, the righteousness of God has been revealed, the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, we are justified. All of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ are justified. We are declared right with God as a free gift of his grace. We are redeemed. Jesus paid for our sins. And in Romans 4, he says, even Abraham was justified by faith. And in Romans 5, he says that we have peace with God, and we stand in grace, and God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and that we are united with Christ, and that in this relationship with Christ, we have the gift of righteousness. We don't have to earn it. In Romans 6, he says that when we were baptized in Christ, we were baptized into his death, so that not only are we joined to Christ by faith, we are set free from sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. And in Romans 7, he talks about how in his own effort, he can't possibly live for God. But Romans 8 said there is no condemnation. No condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. And that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that because we have the Holy Spirit and we have a new heart and new desires and new power and a new standing with God, we can only now, with our relationship with Jesus, finally have victory over sin. And then in 9, 10, and 11, he says, this grace, God has not rejected Israel. God is working sovereignly throughout the whole world to show his mercy to everyone through Jesus Christ. God is saving you and me and red, yellow, black, and white all around the world through what he's doing in Christ, because God loves everyone. Therefore, what do we do in response? What do we do with this amazing, undeserved love that Jesus has given us? David Gordon doesn't deserve to be your pastor. David Gordon doesn't deserve to be the spiritual leader of a home. David Gordon doesn't deserve to be a member of this church. David Gordon doesn't deserve to even look at God. I have fallen short of God's glory. I have sinned again and again and again. When God found me, I was nothing but evil from head to toe. But because he loved me, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for my sins. And because he loved me, he has filled me with his Holy Spirit. And because he loved me, he's wiped my sins clean. And because he loved me, I'm righteous in his sight. And because he loves me, I'm going to have a home in heaven one day. What should my response be? That's what the therefore is there for. What should our response be to this amazing love that God has given us? That's what Romans 12 is all about. How should we respond? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Number one in your notes, love God by presenting your body and your mind to Him. What should our response be to God's grace? I can give you the whole sermon in two words. Love God. Love God. He says, love God with your body by presenting your body a living sacrifice. Think of it in terms of the Old Testament. Sacrifices are not living. The whole Old Testament is about sacrifices, not the whole Old Testament. The law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are about sacrifices. When you bring a sacrifice, you don't bring a living sacrifice. You bring something living, but then you kill it. It dies. But when you bring the sacrifice, how much of the animal do you bring? All of it. When the children of Israel brought an animal sacrifice and they give it to the priest, they don't get to keep any of that animal. It's all given. And Paul says, present your bodies as a sacrifice. What is your response to the gospel? Give everything recklessly to God. Recklessly. I love the story of the little boy who's sitting in the pew and the offering plate comes by and he has nothing. He has nothing. And the offering plate, here it comes. Here comes the offering plate. And he's so nervous. And, oh, what do I give? What do I give? What do I give? What do I give? And finally, I don't know if he remembered Romans 12, but the Holy Spirit came upon him and he says, I know what I'll give. And he takes the plate, he puts it on the floor, and he steps in it. I'll give myself. That's what God wants. He doesn't want your money. Listen, I'm going to tell you something really theologically powerful. I'm so smart theologically. I'm going to tell you something that you're never going to hear in any other pulpit. Listen up. God has enough money. He's got enough. He wants you. He wants you. And when I reach into my pocket and I pull out a dollar bill or a $5 bill or a $10 bill and I put it in the offering plate, how much of that do I keep? None of it. It's all gone. And God wants all of you, Trinity Baptist. He wants all of you. All of your money. All of your time. All of your faith, all of your gifts, all of your effort, all of your dreams, every second of every day for the rest of your life, that is the only response to the gospel. Give everything recklessly to God. Not only your body, but your mind. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Trinity Baptist Church, here is a very simple principle for you. If the world does A, do Z. If the world goes up, go down. If the world goes left, go right. If the world goes south, go north. Do not think like the world thinks. Do not talk like the world talks. Do not live like the world lives, for the world is passing away. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, behind me on the screen, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, in which Dave Gordon formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The world is going the wrong direction. Matthew 13, 22, behind me on the screen. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word and it becomes unfruitful. I hope this isn't you. I hope this isn't you. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God, and hopefully God is using this human vessel to plant his seed in your heart. And Jesus says one possible response is that the worries of the world will prevent you from listening to the word of God today. And the deceitfulness of riches will prevent you from listening to the word of God today. Beware of the world. Satan is the god of the world. Christ comes to rescue us from the world. 1 Corinthians 2:6, behind me on the screen. We do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, for the rulers of this age are passing away. Paul says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Trinity Baptist Church, the world is constantly talking to you. Through your peers, through movies, through the internet, through every possible thing, the world is full of so many opinions. You absolutely must be renewing your mind in the pages of this book. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. You need this book more than food. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Please look at verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. That's the warning. It applies to each and every one of us. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Why? Verse 4. Just as we have many members of one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Number 2 in your notes. Love one another. Do not be arrogant or prideful, because we are all part of one body. Paul teaches the same thing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Take a look at my body. How many body parts do I have? Who knows? A lot. I got a lot of body parts. And right now, my neck, my shoulders, my hands, my arms, my tongue, my brain, my back, my legs, my feet, every single body part is doing what the head says. And the head says, preach. Do you live your life like that? Do you live your life like that? Paul says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Now, we can take that out of context and say, okay, that's good advice. But let's take it in context. Why are we not supposed to think of ourselves more highly? Because we are members of one body. That's why. God has designed the church to be multiple members, all united to follow the head. Is that how you live your Christian life? Trinity Baptist Church will only function the way God wants it to function if you get up in the morning and say, I am part of the body. And my job today is to function in unity with the other parts to obey the head. Do you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think? Or do you humbly get up in the morning and say, my role today is to obey as a team. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. What an amazing section. Verses 9 through 13 could be a great sermon all by itself. Because he says, number 3 in your notes, love without hypocrisy. Love without hypocrisy. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like to love without hypocrisy? Aren't you glad that this isn't just one little isolated saying that Paul says? No, he says it right in the middle of this beautiful chapter. And then he goes on with verses 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 to tell us what it means to love without hypocrisy. What does it mean to love without hypocrisy? What does that look like? A. Love hates evil. Love hates evil. This Greek word hate means to shudder. To shudder. Your Bible, if it's New American Standard, it means to, it says abhor. Abhor what is evil. Love, if you are filled with love, you will shudder at evil. Trinity Baptist Church, if you are filled with God's love, you will look more and more at evil and you'll just go, I can't bear that. Love and evil are incompatible. Love hates evil. B, love clings to what is good. It clings to what is good. This is a beautiful, beautiful Greek word, cling. When I married Julie, hi, she's filming me right now. Hi, Julie. She's going to have to edit that out. When I married Julie, I was united to her. And this Greek word cling is the same word. It's what the Bible uses when a man is united to his wife and they become one flesh. This is so important that you learn this about love. Love shudders at evil and it clings to holiness. Love cannot stand evil and it unites to what is good and what is holy and what is beautiful and what God says is excellent. That's what love does. That's what it means to love without hypocrisy. C, love outdoes others in loving. It leads by example. The Greek word describes someone who leads the way. Follow me. Follow me. I'm going to go this way. Love is not content to watch other people love. Love wants to lead the way and say, I'm going to love. And I'm going to love more than anybody else. That's what it means to love without hypocrisy. D, love is not lazy or sluggish, but serves the Lord fervently. E, love rejoices in hope and perseveres in tribulation. 1 Corinthians 13:7, Paul says that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. F, love is devoted to prayer. And finally, G, love gives. Love gives. Love is a giving. It says contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. The Greek word hospitality is a compound word. It literally means love stranger. Love the stranger. Love gives. Look at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Number four in your notes, love supernaturally. Love supernaturally. Jesus says something so powerful in Luke chapter 6. He says, if you love those who love you, what good is that? If you give to those who give to you, what good is that? Even the world can do that. And can't we relate to that, Trinity Baptist? You don't need Jesus to love people that love you. You don't need Jesus to give to people that give to you. The world can do that all day long. You can join hundreds of really fun organizations and groups and clubs and teams and all kinds of stuff. You can love those that love you every corner of the world. There's places in India and all over the Coachella Valley where you can join groups and fun clubs and associations, and you can love people that love you all day long. You don't need Jesus for that. That's not what we're about. We're about loving supernaturally. We're about loving in such a way that you cannot do if you don't have Jesus in your heart. And he says, bless those. A, what does it mean to love supernaturally? A, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Remember, he says, do not be conformed to the world. What does the world say? The world says, fight back. If you insult me, I insult you. If you say something unkind to me, I'm going to step it up. I'm going to say something unkind to you. Paul says, bless those who persecute you. I was with my friend the other day, and we were inside in a service, in like a worship service. We had a great time. And his daughter was with us. And we went outside, and his daughter's car had been broken into. The window was broken, and some of her belongings were stolen. And when we went out there, his daughter, who was late 20s, I suppose, began to cry. And here we are, two of us, and his daughter, oh, Dad, my things. She's really upset. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I am a dad of a daughter. Hey, daughter. I am a dad of a daughter. And all of you that are dads of daughters know what the sin nature does when someone has wronged your daughter. And it's welling up within me like, ooh, where is he? And this man, I'm expecting him to say, okay, let's chase him down and call the police and blah, blah, blah. And this man just grabs his daughter and he holds her close. And he lifts up his hands and he says, Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for whoever broke into my daughter's car. Wherever they are right now, Heavenly Father, I just pray for them. I don't know why they stole her belongings, Lord God, but those belongings belong to you. You gave them. You took them away. We praise you. But I just pray for whoever that is, that they would find Christ as Savior, that they would know that they are sinners, that they would know that there's a God who loves them, and they'd be saved and enjoy the blessings of God's gospel and God's promises, and that someday we would see them in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. That is the Christian response. And you can't do that without Jesus. B, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. This takes Jesus. Why? What do we do in the flesh? What does the sin nature say? What does the world say? If you have cause to rejoice, I'm upset. Why? Because you're prospering and I'm not. Things are going great for you and things aren't going good for me. So when things go great for you, I'm sad. That's the flesh. That's the sin nature. And the opposite is true too. I'm not going to weep when you weep, because when you're weeping, I feel better because you're sad too. Things are going bad for me, but things are also going bad for you. And that's how the sin nature operates. You buy this beautiful house, and I get sad. Oh, I wish I had a beautiful house. That really stinks. You lose your house. Oh, I lost my house. Well, he lost his house. I kind of feel better about that. That's what the world does. But Jesus says, no, you rejoice with those who rejoice, and you weep with those who weep. If God blesses you, it should fill me with joy. And if you're in a trial, it should break my heart. That's what it means to love supernaturally. C, do not be prideful or arrogant, but associate with everyone. That's love. D, never pay back evil for evil. Never pay back evil for evil. The world is watching. The world is watching, brothers and sisters, about how we respond. You know, I'm going to tell you something else that's really, really smart. You can only hear it here. The world is an evil place. And if you're going to live in this world, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. People are going to say unkind things to you. People are going to rip you off. People are going to hurt you deeply. That's what it means to live in the world. And what Jesus does in our hearts is he gives us the ability, finally, to live how we're supposed to live, to respond to evil with love. The Apostle Peter says, do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but give a blessing instead, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. E, do everything you can to live at peace with all people. Do everything you can to live at peace with all people. Paul says, insofar as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Why does he say that? Why doesn't he just say, live at peace with everyone? Some people aren't willing to live at peace with you. Some people aren't willing to live at peace with you. I'm a human being. And if you're gonna hang out with me here at Trinity Baptist Church for a matter of years, I'm gonna hurt your feelings. I'm gonna hurt your feelings because I'm a human being. I'm gonna hurt your feelings. Now, hopefully, I'll be humble and apologize. I'll come to you and I'll say I'm sorry. But if you close your heart to me and you say nope, I don't want to talk to you anymore, then I've done all I can. And Paul says, insofar as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What he's saying is, do your part. Do your part. If the other person doesn't want to reconcile, that's between them and God. You do your part. F, do not take revenge, but love your enemies. Do not take revenge, but love your enemies. Here's a powerful thought. It says, leave room for the wrath of God. Leave room for the wrath of God, for vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. Leave room for the wrath of God. If someone hurts you and they are not a Christian, if someone wrongs you and they are not a Christian, you do not need to take revenge. It is totally unnecessary for you to take revenge, because if that person hardens their heart against the gospel and rejects Jesus Christ for the rest of their life and dies in that condition, they are descending to hell forever and ever and ever. Whatever you do is meaningless. Have mercy on that person. Have mercy on that person. Because they're headed for a Christless eternity. If someone hurts you and they are a Christian, listen to this. If someone hurts you and they are a Christian, if they sin against you and they are a Christian, do not take revenge. Why? Christ died for that sin. Isn't that good enough? Isn't that enough payment? It's enough for God. It should be enough for you. Don't take revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. Love your enemies. Last thing, and I'm done. Number 5 in your notes. The commands of Romans 12 are only possible because of the provision of Romans 1 through 11. This is not moralism. This is not Pastor Dave standing up here and saying, do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. This is a response to all we have seen of the grace of God in Romans 1 through 11. So if you're having trouble, if your heart says, oh, I'm so grateful for all that God has done, I can't wait in his strength to live like this, I'm so excited about this sermon, I'm so filled with joy over the salvation that I did not deserve, I can't wait to live like this with the power of God's Spirit. If that's your response, then go do it. If you look at this and say, oh, geez, then just go home and read 1 through 11 again. Study the gospel and see how much Jesus loves you, and then respond to his love. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful commands, and thank you for the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to obey every one of them. Oh, please help us to live like you've given us an opportunity to live. God, because of Christ, we can finally do this. Before Christ, we couldn't live like this. We were slaves to our sinfulness, but now because of Jesus, we can finally live the way we were supposed to. Please help us by your Spirit to love supernaturally. In Jesus' name, amen.